Missions Sunday. Well, we want to take a moment and both see what the scriptures have to say to us about missions and then celebrate what the Lord has done and talk about what the Lord is going to do next year. Hopefully, we don't know what he's going to do, but we're planning and asking him to move and work in that. And look, here's the thing. The reason we're doing this is we don't do a great job around here of celebrating the wins, okay? God's been doing some great things in and through his church, and sometimes, and this is partly my fault, mostly my fault, is we're always worrying about the next thing, you know, what's next, what's next, what's next, and sometimes we don't stop and thank the Lord for what he's done and what he's doing, right? And so that's kind of what today is. It's a chance for us to see what the scriptures have to say about this idea of missions, this command of missions, and then to celebrate the Lord's faithfulness, and let's look forward to what he hopefully is going to do next year. So that's the heart behind what we're going to do here. We're going to read some scriptures about missions. If you are around here very much, you know we are very committed to taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, we say, from neighborhoods to nations. We want to empower and encourage one another to take the gospel to our neighborhoods, to our city, and ultimately to the ends of the earth, okay? And that's who we are. It's who we want to be anyway. It's who God's making us, and we want to see that, and we want to celebrate that together. So, that's a lofty goal to think about taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, right? That seems like a lofty goal. But one of my favorite missions quotes is by a guy named William Carey, who was a missionary who served for, I think, 6 years before he saw his first convert. For 6 years, he labored among the people before he saw someone come to know Christ. And he said this. He said, "I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter." And that's something for us as a church that we think about that. We're not scared of failing at something, but we want to know at the end of the day and at the end of this run that the Lord gives us together that we did things that mattered, that we did things that mattered for the sake of eternity, right? We got one pass at this, and we want to be as faithful as possible to make much of Jesus as much as possible and to succeed at making Jesus known, and that's the goal. So a few passages of scripture talk about this for a second, and then I actually have asked Todd Lee to come and share a little bit about what the Lord has been doing amongst our people and through our people this year. But three passages of scripture, Matthew 28, Romans 10, and Psalm 86. I want you to hear the scriptures this morning. Jesus says, as the Great Commission here, he says, Jesus came to his disciples and said, after he was resurrected, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," given to Jesus, not to you, it's Jesus' authority. He says, and since he has the authority, he tells us to go and make disciples. Make, again, is the command here. As you are going, make disciples. Make is the imperative in the original language. We should be making disciples of Jesus wherever we go, from neighborhoods to the ends of the earth. We should be making disciples of Jesus, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Romans 10, some of the great verses on both the simplicity of trusting Christ and then the call for us to make that known to the ends of the earth. Romans 10, 8 through 17 says, "But what does it say? The word is near to you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that you proclaim, because great truth right here. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified," means he's been declared to be innocent, "and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him." For it's a wonderful promise, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's a great promise of God that everyone that calls on the name of Jesus and asks him to save them, he will do that. For everyone that will call on his name, he will save every one of them that will call on him. And then there's a great missionary verse right after this, okay? He says, "How then," Paul says, he gets us to that point. "Confess your mouth, Jesus, Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." How then, Paul asks, how can they call on the one in whom they have not believed? These are rhetorical questions. They can't. How can they believe in him of whom they have never heard? They can't. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? They can't. How can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are feet of those that bring good news." They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, the Lord, who has believed in what he has heard from us? So, he says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing of the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing the message of the gospel and responding to it in faith, okay? The idea of preach the gospel and if necessary, use words, hear me. It is necessary to use words to preach the gospel. You have to. Now, you should also let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Yes, but the gospel requires proclamation. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. How can they call on the one they've not believed in? They can't. How can they believe unless they've heard? They can't. How can they hear unless someone preaches them? They can't. How can they preach unless they're sent? They can't, right? There's a responsibility for us to go and to make much of Jesus for this purpose, Psalm 86, okay? We all know that. We should do that. Why do we do that? What's the end goal of going to the ends of the earth, to our neighborhoods, all the way to the nations, to tell people about Jesus? The goal is Psalm 86 is going to happen, okay? He tells us this in Psalm 86. There's none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. Underline verse 9 if you have your Bible open. All the nations you have made will. This is going to happen in eternity future. They will. They shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great, and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. Therefore, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love for me. You have delivered me and my soul from the depths of Sheol. Here's the goal of missions, okay? This is, and if you like to fill in blanks, I'll give you the first three, and then I'll give you the last three at the very end, okay? The first three blanks are this. This is the goal of missions. Missions is ultimately about God's glory. The reason we go to the ends of the earth to make much of Jesus is because God is for God's glory. And these two things up under that. God deserves the praise of all people. He deserves it. And not only does he deserve it, he desires the praise of all people. Now, this changed in me when I was in college, okay? When I was in college, I did not understand this. I thought you should tell people about Jesus because that's what you were supposed to do. I didn't realize there was a greater calling than just you're supposed to. You're supposed to tell people about Jesus, and this was my mindset. You're supposed to tell people about Jesus, and people that go on mission trips are the super Christians, okay? Those are the people that were like actually committed to it. The rest of us went on Sundays, and it was good, and we were pretty committed, but they were like uber committed. It's like Christianity 2.0. If you, you know, like, and then like the super human Christians were the full-time missionaries, right? That's kind of how I laid that out in my mind. That was foolish, but it was this is the way I thought about it, okay? And so that was what we thought about it. I didn't had nothing in my mind about God's glory and missions. Never a thought to me. The reason I should go tell people about Jesus is because God deserves the praise of every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever existed. He is that great. He is worthy of the praise of every mouth that is breathing his good air. Right? He is worth the praise of everyone who breathes in the breath that he gives them. He is worthy of it. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I really didn't know that, okay? And therefore, missions to me was an obligation. Evangelism was an obligation, not a delight, not an act of worship because he is worthy of the praise of those people. That is how I thought about missions until I read this paragraph when I was in college. It's in a book called Let the Nations Be Glad by a guy named John Piper. I literally read this paragraph and I shut the book and I put it back on the desk because I was not ready to read this, okay? Not ready to read this. The Lord used it to give me a better understanding of his glory among the nations and his desire for it through this passage from this paragraph from Dr. John Piper. He said this, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church, and I thought it was. He said, worship is. And then this line wrecked me. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. He goes on to say this, and this is who we want to be as a church. If the pursuit of God's glory is not ordered above the pursuit of man's good and the affections of the heart and the priorities of the church, man will not be well served and God will not be duly honored. I'm not pleading for diminishing of missions, but for a magnifying of God. When the flame of worship burns with the heat of God's true worth, the light of mission will shine to the darkest peoples on earth. And I long, he says, for that day to come. Where the passion for God is weak, zeal for missions will be weak. Churches that are not centered on the exaltation of the majesty and beauty of God will scarcely kindle a fervent desire to declare that glory among the nations. This is why we want to lift high the glory of God, because when we do that, it will propel us to want to make that glory known among the nations. That's what he's arguing there, and that's what we want to see, and that's who we want to be. We want to take this good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth, that God has made a way for all men, women, boys, and girls who will trust Christ to trust him, because he deserves their praise, and he desires their praise. That's why we are committed to that here. It's what we want to see happen. So around here, here's a little bit of an update. By God's grace and by your faithfulness to give and to serve, in 2016 and 2017, we met budget in November for the year. We have a budget for doing ministry around here. And we both of those years, by God's grace, we met budget early in the month of November. And so both of those years, we kind of had a dream that became a reality because of your faithfulness and because of God's faithfulness to give away our December offering, okay? December is the biggest giving month of the year for churches, biggest month of the year in every church I've ever been in. And we said, what if we gave away the greatest month of the year for the sake of making Jesus known around the world, okay, both here and to the ends of the earth? What if the Lord put us in a place to do that? How great would that be? And by his grace, he did that in 2016 and in 2017. And by God's grace, we met budget last week for 2018. And so we're going to be able to do that again in 2018. So starting December the 1st, every penny that comes in. Yeah, you can praise the Lord for that. But here, listen to me. So what? In some ways, I'm like, you know, like it's not about the money. It's about the opportunity to make Jesus known, right? And so thank the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. I want you to know, like, that doesn't happen without you being faithful to give and to serve and to be sacrificial with your lives all year long. Like, you don't get to there on these doldrum weeks in June without people being faithful to be bought into what God's doing. And so We have been able to do that, and we're going to do that again, because your faithfulness to give and because of the Lord's grace to us. And what I wanted Tali to give you kind of a picture of what that's looked like around here this year, how we've been able to serve both here in Tuscaloosa in many ways that you don't even know about. We don't always talk about these things because of the... just because, okay? Because it's good. But we want you to hear this because we want you to understand you're part of that, okay? When you pray, when you give, when you go, when you invest your life in the mission of making Jesus known in your neighborhood and to the ends of the earth, we're part of what God is doing through us corporately. And that is a beautiful thing that we want to celebrate God's faithfulness in, and also let that be the fuel that drives us forward to think about these things as we move forward together. So Brian's going to show us a quick video of the need around the world, and then Tali's going to come and share a little bit with us about how God has been faithful to do that in us and through us in 2018.
In the beginning, God created everything. He created a world full of people to know him and to be known by him. This is the story of the Bible, God bringing people to himself. And when we read the Bible, we see how God went to great lengths to do this and how much God cares about people knowing him. You most likely already know this. And you probably live somewhere where people have a general understanding of this great love story between God and humanity. And if they don't know yet, there's probably somebody in town who can tell them. But did you also know that there are 3 billion people who will live and die without ever hearing this story? Not because they don't care, but because they don't have a choice. Nobody ever told them that once upon a time, God became a human just like them, so that he could teach them how to know their creator. 40% of the world doesn't know this, and they won't know this. Not unless something changes. Not unless someone goes to tell them. Jesus is our wonderful example. He left his natural home to come to us. And then he tells us to do the same thing. Because we love Jesus and care about the same things that he cares about, we care about this. That the whole world would know him. That every tongue, tribe, and people group would come and be able to worship him. So the question is, are we doing this? going out into the world to bring the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation? Well, kind of. While churches do send people out, almost half the world still doesn't have any access to the gospel. But how is this possible? Aren't there people being sent? Well, yeah. There are about 400,000 people serving across the world today. But only 3% of them are actually going to the 40% who have never heard about Jesus. The other 97%, they're going to places that have already heard about Jesus. There's an imbalance. That imbalance leaves only one person for each 250,000 people who have never heard about Jesus. Put another way, we have a Spirit-led calling to rethink our focus. When you look at how we use our resources, such as money, the picture doesn't look that much better. To be specific, Christians around the world are giving about 2% of their income to Christian causes. And less than 7% of that is going to cross-cultural workers. And of that cross-cultural giving, only 1/100th of that 0.1% is actually going to those working with the 3 billion people who don't know Jesus, have no church, or any Christian neighbors. The other 99% of all cross-cultural giving goes to the rest of the world that already has Christians, Bibles, and churches. Are you seeing the imbalance? Only 3% of our workers, with only 1% of our cross-cultural finances, are going to the 3 billion people who have never heard about Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, are we okay with this? We want those 3 billion people to hear about the kingdom of God and how much God loves them. There are 17,000 ethno-linguistic groups in the world, people who share language, culture, and common history. 7,000 of them are considered unreached people groups. These are entire cultures who have never heard the amazing story of how Jesus loves them and came to save them. God has called us to pay attention to this, to love and care for the same things that He does. He put this desire on our heart, to see the unreached reached with the amazing story of the love of God. We want to see lasting local church planting movements begin among these people groups that brings renewal and transformation among these cultures and societies. Why? Because God has moved our hearts to see the gospel transform whole societies among the unreached. We know this task is bigger than us. Many of the areas that are in need of the gospel are difficult and resistant places. It isn't something that can be accomplished overnight, but by the power of the Spirit, we endeavor to preach the gospel where Christ is not known so that God can be worshiped by all people.
I'd love to talk about that right there for the next hour, but I won't. I want to tell you how God has used Capstone, and by Capstone, I mean you, to make His glory known in Tuscaloosa and in the nations of the world in 2018. Don't let it be lost on you that because of your generous giving, we were able to take our December missions, our December giving, and put it into a missions fund that was over and above what we already have designated for missions. If you're not reading the line items in our budget, and you probably aren't, I'll tell you that we have designated $45,000 for local mission and $45,000 for global mission. And while that seems like a lot of money, and it is, imagine having the great, glorious gift of having another sum of money above that that we can take to make God glory known, God's glory known in Tuscaloosa and in the nations of the world. Y'all, this would not be possible if January through November you were not being faithful to give. But because you were, it afforded us the opportunities, as I'll show you in just a second, that we frankly would not have had the opportunity to do apart from your giving. So thank you for that. Obviously, we cannot fix every problem, nor is God asking us to. What He is asking us to do is to be faithful with the ways that He has blessed us to be a blessing to other people. As a matter of fact, if you go all the way back to Genesis, the story of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, you read there that the reason God blesses His people is so that they can be a blessing to other people. Well, how can you and I choose to be a blessing to other people? Several ways. You can choose to give of your time. We want to make Jesus known in Tuscaloosa. But the way that we can do that oftentimes to get our foot in the door with people who maybe are in just really difficult places in their lives or oftentimes are living in great lack is to be willing to give our time and to meet them where they are. That's a sacrifice that you can be willing to give. You can be willing to give of your talents, of your spiritual gifts, whatever it is that God has given you that makes you you. Now, obviously, in a room this size with this many people in it, that's going to look different for every one of us because we all are just an amalgamation of things that God has caused to happen in our lives that do make us us. But whatever that is, we recognize that that is to be also used for God's glory. We give our time, we give our talents, our spiritual gifts, and we give our resources. Because, folks, mission costs. And I can tell you that there's absolutely nothing better that you can be doing with your financial resources than to be looking for ways that you can sow it into where the gospel is being shared. Ultimately, the gospel is what is changing lives temporarily and long term. And that's where we want to be pouring our financial resources. And God promises us as we choose to do that, y'all, he is going to give you an incredible return on your investment in making his glory known. Many of you did that sacrificially all throughout the year. And because you did, we were able to take that which we received in December and just say to God, Lord, would you just show us the doors that are opening for us to make your glory known? And he was faithful to do that. You know why? Because he loves people. Because he saw parents that were hurting and that needed someone to come alongside them. And through your generosity, we were able to help them. He sees people who are literally starving to death every day in developing countries that many of us will never go to, and some of us have never even heard of these countries before. But God's all-seeing eye and his all-compassionate heart sees their needs, and he brings resources to people like us so that we can meet those needs. He cares about the peoples of the world, and he blesses us so that we can use the ways that we have been blessed to meet the needs of people everywhere. So here's what that has looked like. I'm proud to tell you that your money allowed us to be able to 50% comp the flight cost of every student from fourth grade to graduate school this past year who went on any capstone mission trip. Obviously, the flight cost is the vast majority of the cost of a trip. So it literally enabled some people in our body who probably would not have chosen to go if they weren't getting such a big cut on the price. Y'all, you cannot imagine how important that is. Why do we do that? Because we want our students to develop a global and biblical worldview. God is the creator of culture. Because in greater diversity, God gets greater glory in worship. So obviously, he's thrilled when cultures of every tribe and tongue and race are worshiping him in their own distinct ways. You can't fully appreciate that until you go and see it. But you can be a part of that by praying that others can go, by giving of your resources so that other people have the opportunity to go. Your money's also going to serve real needs here in Tuscaloosa. I'll give you some tangible examples. Several of you are connected to a family whose mama unexpectedly died this past year. They had no clue as to how they were going to pay for the funeral. That family doesn't even go to Capstone. But because of your generosity and every cent sent, Capstone paid for the funeral of that mama and took just for a moment some of the weight of that grief off of them. There's another family here in town that's very dear to us. This family already had four special needs children living in their home that they had adopted. Four. They did the extraordinary thing of going to Ukraine and adopting four more special needs children. Three who have Down syndrome, one whose needs are more critical than Down syndrome. Even though these children were teenagers when they were adopted, none of them could walk and none of them were potty trained. And 2 years later, they still aren't. Because of your generosity, this family installed a track ceiling system that allows these children to be scooped out of their beds and placed in wheelchairs. This was a life-changing local gift because of your generosity. We were able to help finish a handicapped accessible deck and fence for a guy here in town who has spina bifida, and his service dog, again, a life-changing local use of this money. Liberty Baptist Church down Highway 82, an older congregation that had the vision to build a family life center. There are a number of neighborhoods that are around them down toward Duncanville. And they said, like, these kids don't have anywhere to go. And when kids don't have anywhere to go, they get in trouble. So they built this family life center. And then they ran out of resources. And they ran out of energy. This is an older group of people, y'all, whose hearts are in the right place. And they said, can you help us? Only because of every cent sent were we able to send a sheetrock crew and an insulating crew down there and to finish in 2 weeks what they may never have gotten finished, but they absolutely wouldn't have gotten it finished in the next several years. So for years to come, your giving is going to be impacting an area of Tuscaloosa County that you probably only drive through on your way to Montgomery. One of our teams went to Serbia this past year and was working in a mental hospital in northern Serbia. This facility has 300 mentally challenged adults in it. 300, think about it. They had one blood pressure cuff and one stethoscope in the whole hospital. We knew this before we went. They gave us a list of things. Because of your giving, we were able to take lots of medical supplies over there for them to use. As we were leaving, the guy that directs the hospital said, we don't even have blankets. Like, we heat this place with wood-burning stoves. It happens to be snowing buckets there right now. Because of every cent sent, every one of those patients now has a high-quality, warm blanket. Hey, Brian, go back to that other picture. We were in a home in Ukraine. These people were living in absolute squalor. Never had this family had a refrigerator. And because we had every cent sent money on hand, we were able to give them the first refrigerator they had ever had. It cost a whopping $50. There are people that are living at levels of poverty all over the world that none of us can imagine. The poorest person in America is in the top 15% of wealth in the world. You cannot compare world poverty to what we have here in the States. It's not even possible. So when we were in India back in spring and we came across needs like this, because we had the money on hand, we were able to meet the most pressing needs of people who were in very desperate situations. Thousands of meals were provided around the world to indigenous peoples who were coming either to hear the gospel preached or were coming for training, pastors' conferences, pastors' wives' conferences, various discipleship and training settings, where what brought them there was the fact that they were hungry. And they knew that they were going to get food. Meeting physical needs so that we have the foot in the door to meet what we know is their most critical need, their spiritual need. In May, Every Cent Sent provided the means for every resident in a rehab facility, men's and women's, in Ukraine to come to a retreat where for 3 days we just poured the gospel into them. And at the end of that retreat, 30 of those alcoholics and drug addicts, I'm talking hardcore live in the street, was the only reason these people were at the rehab center. 30 of those people stepped into a circle and said, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. They wouldn't have even been in that building had it not been for Every Cent Sent. Our precious partners in Hungary, Peter and Sylvia Miklasvari, work for the Grain Game, not only in Hungary, but all over Eastern Europe. We're in desperate need of transportation. Many of you have been in the van that they were driving, where we leaned forward and just prayed that the wheels didn't fall off of it. And they called me and said, like, we hate to even ask you this. Do you think that your church would be able to help us with transportation? Y'all, they're taking the gospel all over Eastern Europe. Because of Every Cent Sent, they're now driving this very reliable van, which served our team in September as they took us to Romania and Serbia and Hungary. Your generosity has sent some of our own people this past year into a midterm and long-term service. Your generosity has brought career missionaries back to the States from furlough who didn't have money to pay for their own plane tickets. So from needs here in Tuscaloosa County to medicine, tons of medicine that one of our teams took to Kenya back in July, to water buckets that we purchased for the largest refugee crisis on the globe right now, a Rohingya camp in the southern border of Bangladesh, between Bangladesh and Myanmar. Your generosity is making a difference in the lives of people around the world and for the glory of our King. So I suggest in 2019, we commit to use everything that we are and all that we have for the good of these people and the glory of God in our neighborhoods and in the nations.
Good job, Tom. Yeah. And again, we want you to understand you're part of that, okay? You maybe have never been to Bangladesh and quite frankly, probably won't ever go. But you can be part of what the Lord is doing around the world in various ways. And you are part of that. And it is a joy to be able to partner together in that. A few things to leave you with as we think about going from here. What do you do in light of this? How can we be part of what the Lord is doing around the world? There's four ways we can be a part of that, okay? And this is on the bottom of your paper there. Four ways that you can be part of what the Lord is doing around the world, okay? And here, four ways. And they're this. Number one is you can pray. And this needs to change in our hearts, but prayer is not the least you could do. Prayer is the most vital thing that we do, is to pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field, right? That's the least I can do is pray. In many ways, it's the most you will ever do, is ask the Lord to open up hearts and minds to hear and trust the gospel. Because you do not have the ability to do that yourself. Only the Spirit can do that, right? Only the Spirit can do that. So we need prayer. Every one of us can pray and should be part of praying to see the gospel go to the ends of the earth. The second thing you can do, which is what this Sunday is kind of about, is you can give, right? You can give. Many of you can, look, We all should give. We all should be give. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, remember, he says, when you pray, when you give, when you fast, those things were not considered to be optional, I don't think, in Jesus' view with his preaching of the church there to his disciples. So we can give. We all can give, and we can give sacrificially. We should give sacrificially. And look, here's a biblical principle of this: to whom much is given, much is expected. And the more that we are given by our gracious Father, the more we're expected to give, okay? And so we should be gracious, free givers. We should be, as God should find us, being gracious, free givers. We can pray, we can give. Number three, we can go. And the majority of us can do all three of those, okay? The majority of us can do all three of those. We can go. Could you commit to give 2% of your year, 1 week, for the sake of making Jesus known in a place other than Tuscaloosa? That's what we are asking, okay? And look, I get some of you cannot do that because of your stage of life with children or maybe where your business is at. You're like, Jeremy, I legitimately don't know if I can do that. And I understand that. The vast majority of us can do that, okay? But even for you that can't do that, you can pray and you can give. We can all do those three things. But the other option is we can either pray, give, and go, or the fourth option is simply that we can be disobedient. That's our only other option. We can pray, we can give, we can go, or we can be disobedient to what the Lord has called us to do. That's our only options there, church. Not engaging is not an option. Not engaging is disobedience. James says, he who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. The sin of omission, not doing what the Lord has called us to. We can pray, we can give, we can go, or we can be disobedient. And if this is the last thing on your paper there, and I got one scripture to read and we're done. If we really believe this, that Jesus really is better than anything the world has to offer, then we should make it our life's goal to make sure as many people as possible know him. Like if we really believe that, if I really believe that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer, then I should make it my life's aim to make sure as many people as possible know that. In my neighborhood, Forest Glen, at my kid's ballpark, at my kid's school, right? At T-Town Cafe when I eat my breakfast bowl 2 days a week. And to the ends of the earth, right? Wherever I am, If I really believe that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer, I should make my life's aim, wherever I am, wherever I go, to make much of Jesus and make sure people understand that, because they need to know that, and God is worthy of them knowing that. And so, something I've been battling with, because I'm not good with the ask, okay? I'm always, when we talk about money in church, like, I'm well aware that people, that pastors beat you over the head talking about money. They don't hear because we never talk about it, because I don't like talking about it. And at the same time, God is expecting us to be good stewards of what he gives us, right? When we think about every sentence, something we've never done is set a goal, okay? We've never set a goal just because. And for about the last 6 weeks or so, we've been toying with, do we set a goal this year? Should we set a goal? Should we give some people, you know, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every single time. Thanks, Dave Ramsey. You know, if you, definitely should set a goal. But we're not setting a goal, okay? Here's the goal I'm going to set for you. It's the same goal I'm setting for me. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's the goal I want you to set. And it says this. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. He says, the point of this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap a bountiful harvest. Everyone must give as he has decided in his heart. He must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under obligation, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, he who sows generously reaps a bountiful harvest, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, hear me. I abhor the prosperity gospel. Like, I hate it. And I kind of want to punch people in the face that preach it, okay? Like legit feel anger inside of me when I hear it and have thought about karate chopping people in the throat. Like I hate it, okay? It is not the gospel. Anybody tells you it is, they are a liar, okay? And stewardship principles are true in the Bible. He who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows generously reaps a bountiful harvest. Those two things are, that is still true, even though the prosperity gospel is a load of crap, okay? It is still true what the scriptures say, that he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows generously reaps a bountiful harvest. Here's where we want to be found as a church, faithful to sow generously. And how do we do that corporately? We do that individually. And so my encouragement to you, I'm not giving you a goal. Here's the goal. Seek the Lord and ask him how he would have you be involved in regularly and sacrificially making Jesus known with your time and with your money and with your life, okay? And see how in December you could do that even better. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for a chance to talk about these things and celebrate the things that you're doing in us and through us as your church. God, I do pray. I pray this for me. God, I pray that as 2018 comes to an end and we think about next year, I pray you'd find us more faithful to be who you've called us to be and to do what you've called us to do. God, just pray you'd find me more faithful as a husband, as a man, as a father, as a pastor, as a friend. And I pray that you would find us more faithful in that as well, to make much of Jesus and make him known both here in Tuscaloosa and Alberta and Cottondale and Brookwood and Taylorville and Northport and Northside and to the ends of the earth, to Bangladesh and Indonesia and China and Uganda and Honduras and wherever it is that you send us, Lord, may we be faithful to proclaim this good news of who you are and how you love. Help us, Lord. Help us to do that together well. I pray in Jesus' name.